The goat in the middle of the floor was cute. The Chinglepets, sitting in the chairs in front of my desk, were less so. "Aftab," I said, nodding to the older brother. "Nassim," I said, nodding to the younger. "And friend," I said, nodding to the goat. I took a seat.
"What can I do for you this afternoon?"
"You can give me permission to shoot my brother, Ombudsman Perry," Nassim said.
"I'm not sure that's in my job description," I said. "In any way, it seems a little drastic. Why don't you tell me what's going on?" Nassim pointed to his brother.
"This bastard has stolen my seed," he said.
Pardon? I said.
"My seed," Nassim said. "Ask him. He cannot deny it."
I blinked and turned toward Aftab.
"Oh, stealing your brother's seed, then, is it, Aftab?"
"You must forgive my brother," Aftab said. "He is prone to hysteria, as you know. What he means to say is that one of his goats wandered from his pasture into mine and impregnated this nanny here, and now he claims that I have stolen his goat's sperm."
"It wasn't just any goat," Nassim said. "It was Prabhat, my prize winner. I stud him out for a very good price, and Aftab didn't want to pay the price, so he stole my seed."
"It's Prabhat's seed, you idiot," Aftab said. "And it's not my fault you take such poor care of your fence that your goat was able to get onto my land."
"Oh, that's rich," Nassim said. "Ombudsman Perry, I'll have you know, that fence wire was cut. Prabhat was tempted onto his land."
"You're delusional," Aftab said. "And even if it were true, which it is not, so what? You have your precious Prabhat back."
"But now you have this pregnant goat," Nassim said. "A pregnancy that you did not pay for and which I did not give permission for. It's theft, pure and simple. And more than that, you're trying to ruin me."
"What are you talking about?" Aftab said.
"You're trying to breed a new stud," Nassim said,
and pointed at the goat, which was nibbling the back of Aftab's chair.
"Don't deny it. This is your best nanny. By breeding it with Prabhat, you'll have a buck you can stud out. You're trying to undercut my business. Ask him, Ombudsman Barry. Ask him what his goat is carrying."
I looked back to Aftab.
"What is your goat carrying, Aftab?"
"By sheer coincidence, one of the fetuses is male," Aftab said.
"I want it aborted," Nassim said.
"It's not your goat," Aftab said.
"Then I'll take the kid when it's born," Nassim said, "as payment for the seed you stole."
"This again,"
Aftab said, and looked over to me.
"You see what I am dealing with, Ombudsman Perry. He lets his goats run rampant across the countryside, impregnating at will, and then he demands payment for his own shoddy animal husbandry."
Nassim bellowed in outrage and began yelling and gesticulating wildly at his brother. Aftab followed suit. The goat came around the desk and eyed me curiously. I reached into my desk and fed the goat a candy I found there.
"You and I don't actually need to be here for this," I said to the goat.
The goat didn't respond, but I could tell she agreed with me. As originally planned, the village ombudsman's job was supposed to be simple. Whenever the new Goa villagers had a problem with the local or district government, they would come to me, and I could help them run through the red tape and get things done. It was, in fact, just the sort of job you give a war hero who is otherwise useless to the daily life of a largely rural colony. He's got just enough notoriety with the higher-ups that when he shows up on the doorstep, they have to pay attention to him. The thing was that after a couple of months of this, the new Goa villagers started coming to me with their other problems. "Oh, we don't want to bother with the officials," I was told by one of the villagers after I questioned why I was suddenly the go-to guy for everything from farm equipment advice to frontline marriage counseling. "It's easier and quicker to come to you." Rohit Kulkarni, new Goa's administrator, was delighted with this state of affairs since I was now handling the problems that used to come to him first. It gave him more time to fish and play dominoes at the tea shop. Most of the time, this new and expanded definition of my ombudsman's duties was perfectly fine. It was nice to help people, and it was also nice that people listened to my advice. On the other hand, any public servant is likely to tell you that just a few annoying people in their community will take up the vast majority of their time. In New Goa, those roles were occupied by the Chengalpet brothers. No one knew why they hated each other so much. I thought it might be something with their parents, but Bajan and Niral were lovely people who were just as mystified about it as anyone. Some people just don't get along with some other people. And unfortunately, these two people who did not get along happened to be brothers. It wouldn't have been so bad if, in fact, they hadn't built farms right next to each other and thus were in each other's faces in business most of the time. At one point early in my tenure, I suggested to Aftab, whom I regarded as the slightly more rational Chengalpet, that he might consider checking out a new plot of land that had just been cleared out on the other side of the village, because living away from Nassim might solve the majority of his problems with him.
"Oh, he'd like that," Aftab said in a perfectly reasonable tone of voice.
After that, I abandoned any hope of rational discourse on the matter and accepted that my karma required me to suffer through the occasional visit from the outraged Chengalpet brothers. "All right," I said, quieting the brothers down from their fratrophobic rantings. "Here's what I think. I don't think it really matters how our lady friend the goat got knocked up, so let's not focus on that. But you both agree that it was Nassim's buck that did the deed." Both the Chengalpets nodded. The goat stayed modestly quiet.
"Fine.
Then the two of you are in business together," I said. "Aftab, you can keep the kid after it's born and stud it out if you like. But the first 6 times you do, Nassim gets the full stud fee. And after that, half of your stud fee goes to your brother."
"You'll just stud it out for free the first 6 times," Nassim said.
"Then let's make the stud fee after those first 6 times the average of those first 6, I said. "So if he tries to screw you, he'll end up screwing himself too. And this is a small village, Nassim. People here won't stud with Aftab if they think the only reason he's hiring out his goat is to mess with your livelihood. There's a fine line between value and being a bad neighbor."
"And what if I don't want to be in business with him?" Aftab said.
"Then you can sell the kid to Nassim," I said. Nassim opened his mouth to protest.
"Yes, sell," I said, before he could complain.
"Take the kid to Murali and get an appraisal. That'll be the price. Murali doesn't like either of you very much, so you'll get a fair estimate. Okay?" The Chengalpets thought it over. Which is to say, they racked their brains to see if there was any way either one of them was more unhappy with his state of affairs than the other. Eventually, they both seemed to come to the conclusion that they were equally displeased, which in this situation was the optimal result. They both nodded their assent.
"Good," I said. "Now get out of here before there's a mess on my rug." "My goat wouldn't do that," Aftab said.
"It's not the goat I'm worried about," I said, shooing them out. They left. Savitri appeared in the door. "You're in my seat," she said, nodding to my chair.
"Screw you," I said,
propping up my feet on the desk.
"If you're not going to handle the annoying cases, you're not ready for the big chair."
"In that case, I will return to my humble role as your assistant and let you know that while you were entertaining the Chengalpets, the constable called," Savitri said.
"What about?" I asked.
"Didn't say," Savitri said. "Hung up. You know the constable. Very abrupt."
"Tough but fair, that's the motto," I said. "If it was really important, there'd be a message, so I'll worry about that later. In the meantime, I'll catch up with my paperwork."
"You don't have paperwork," Savitri said. "You give it all to me."
"Is it done?" I asked.
"As far as you know, yes," Savitri said.
"Then I think I'll relax and bask in my superior management skills," I said.
"I'm glad you didn't use the wastebasket to vomit earlier," Savitri said, "because now there's a place for mine to go."
She retreated back to her desk before I could think up a good retort. We'd been like this since after the first month we had worked together. It took her that first month to get used to the fact that even though I was former military, I wasn't actually a colonialist tool, Or at the very least, if I was, I was one with common sense and a reasonable sense of humor. Having established I wasn't there to spread my hegemony over her village, she relaxed enough to start mocking me. It's been our relationship for 7 years, and it's a good one.